Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the I Love Authorpreneurs campaign. Now let's introduce our host, Sharon C. Jenkins, the Master Communicator.
Hello, everyone. We made it to Friday. I am so excited. This is Sharon Jenkins, the Master Communicator, and we are on day 7 of I Love Authorpreneurs. And believe you me, I do love entrepreneurs because we've got 7 more days to go. I am so excited this morning. I have Brian Basilico on the line. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you, Sharon?
I am doing fine. I understand you're in that cold Chicago town.
Yes, it's very cold and it's snowing right now and it's been like sub-zero for the last few days. And I've got a dog that needs to get walked every single day. It's not fun for either one of us.
Oh, I feel you. Well, listening audience, Brian is an award-winning and internationally recognized author. Woo-hoo! He is a speaker and a coach. He's the founder and president of B2B Interactive Marketing Incorporated, an award-winning marketing consulting and production company in Chicago. B2B helps companies and nonprofits market their products and services through the effective use of online tools, including websites, blogs, email, social networking, Google, SEO, YouTube, and much more. Tell us a little bit more about you, Brian. This is the first time I'm meeting you, and for some of my listening audience, this is the first time they're meeting you.
Well, let's see. I'll give you the best fun fact that I could give you right off the bat is I was very, very close to being the voice of the Pillsbury Doughboy years and years ago when they were having a contract dispute with the gentleman who was doing it, and so they heard me doing some radio stuff, and lo and behold, they called me up and had me audition, and I almost got the job. So
Cute. I love it. I love your voice, by the way.
Thank you very much. And so to kind of fill you in on my whole background is I started out at a very young age being an entrepreneur. I actually built a recording studio in my father's basement and was doing bands and that kind of stuff. And from there, I was actually hired as a technician at AT&T doing video. And I first started out wiring studios, and then I learned how to shoot video with a camera, then edit, then produce, left that company to start a commercial recording studio where I did all the cassettes. Remember audio cassettes? I did all the audio cassettes for Avon Lady. Yeah, so the tech was very different back then. So I did all the audio cassettes for Avon Ladies across the United States, jingles, radio, TV, all that kind of stuff. Sold that company to a multimedia production company and worked with them, developed CD-ROMs, did websites and things of that nature, then did a stint at Arthur Anderson and worked up in their training center developing all kinds of training programs. Finally went to work for an ad agency doing online advertising and websites and things like that, and then started this company back in 2001, so it's about 15 years now that I've been doing internet marketing, online marketing, coaching, all that kind of stuff, anything to do with getting found on the internet. So that's essentially what I'm doing now.
Oh, well, we are so glad that you're bringing this expertise to our campaign. What is your favorite content marketing strategy and why?
Well, my favorite content marketing strategy is it depends on who your audience is. And that's one of the keys is there's a lot of different ones that I've seen function very well. It could be blogging. And doing really good quality blogging, which means that you're focusing on your audience, you're asking them questions, you're answering their questions, and then making sure that you're distributing it to as many principal places as possible. And the ultimate goal with that is if they're reading your blog, they're going to be driven back to your website where they can connect up with you. But there's lots of others. Content marketing can be done in the form of videos, putting up on YouTube or Vimeo and sharing those. It could also be done in the form of podcasts. And, you know, so there's tons of different ways to do it. And I tend to incorporate a hybrid of all of the above.
So what's the craziest, funniest, or most creative piece of content you ever shared, and what impact did it have on your audience?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the most recent one was I was standing around. I play guitar at church, and in between rehearsal and the actual service, I just started talking with some of the people there, and I said, you know, I was sitting there looking at my cell phone, and I've got an iPhone in front of me, and I said, you know, do you realize how much stuff we have in our cell phones? And we started listing off all these different things. Like, for example, obviously it's a phone, but it's a calendar, it's a voice recorder. It could be everything from a level to a tape measure, and we just started listing off things. And by the time we were done, within like 10, 15 minutes, we had 75 different things that we now carry around in our pocket that we used to have to carry around separately, including a typewriter, word processor, web browser, computer. You know, I mean, we went on and on and on. And I posted that, and it got an incredible amount of engagement because people could all relate to that, you know. So I put it up on not only my blog, but on LinkedIn and on Facebook, and it was, boy, did I get a lot of comments and a lot of fun feedback with that one.
Wow. I like that. That sounds pretty interesting. Because you're right, because you never think about it. You know, I use it to sing praises in the morning when I have my prayer time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I got my own choir right there. If I want to rock out and listen to some great music later on in the day, I mean, there's my iPhone. If I miss a television program or I'm somewhere where I can have the quiet time in my iPhone, I can still look at the program. So it is a phenomenal tool. Now, talk to me about as a business owner who started sharing content and you know the basics, can you kind of share with us some ninja strategies, some advanced tips for going further with content creation? Because one of the struggles that authors have is once we do the book, we're kind of like on E, and we're trying to find other creative strategies to pull out those things that will help us market our project or our product better. Can you help us out in that area?
Yeah, the key thing is you want to be able to create and find audiences that are interested in what you have to say. So my book that I wrote was called It's Not About You, It's About Bacon, Relationship Marketing in a Social Media World. And that book, 300 pages, 29 chapters, it's a fairly, you know, heavy-duty book. That book was geared towards small business owners. And so one of the things that I had to do was find small business owners who were wanting to learn more about how to market their businesses online. So I spent a lot of time trying to develop a email list of people that I have met in person that know, like, and trust me that would be willing to get some kind of communication on a regular basis. So what I did to help promote the book is I not only did a lot of pre-launch, meaning one of the first things I did before the book was even completed is I had my cover designed before launching the book, and I used that to create a website and draw people into the fact that the book is coming, the book is coming, the book is coming, and give them a little teaser text and give them a free chapter and did some videos and put it up on a website so that people could see that. And that really helped me to create a pre-launch that got people very, very excited to the fact that when the book launched on Amazon, I was number 9 of all books sold in the marketing category that day. So that was huge.
Oh,
and then,
very.
Thank you. And then the secondary thing is that once the book is launched, a lot of people just say, okay, it's there, and they don't realize that they've got to keep promoting it. And I don't care whether you write a book there's basically, I mean, three major senses that you can write a book. You can do a self-published book like I did. You could work with a traditional publisher, or you could work with what's known as a hybrid publisher, which is one where, you know, they take some of the risk, you take some of the risk, and you know, there's different models out there. But the key thing, I don't care which one of those three you go with, a lot of the marketing still ends up on your shoulders. So once the book is launched, you have to come up with a strategy of what can I do to keep this current? You know, what can I do to keep this in front of people? Because, you know, unless somebody sees you speak or sees you on a podcast or listens to you on Blog Talk Radio or sees you in a webinar, they're probably not going to be searching you out. So one of the things that I did is I made a commitment to write a blog every single day for an entire year. And what they were short little tips that would speak to the audience, that would say, okay, you know, I know you want to get into social media, or you want to get into online marketing, but maybe you don't understand it. So I did a different kind of tips, like how to network properly. Or one of my favorite tips was when you're out networking with somebody and you forget your business cards, make sure that you have a JPEG of your business card in your phone. So if you forget your card and you meet somebody, you say, you know, I don't have any cards on me, but can I text this or email it to you so you have it? And they'll hand you your card, you know, their card. You just say, okay, let me email you this real quick. You email them the JPEG so that they have a copy of it when they get back to their office. And the stealth thing on that is you now have their email address too, so you can continue the conversation. So they gave you permission by handing you the card to email them. So that's a nice way to build up your list. And so out of all those tips, I had 365 tips when it was all said and done. They were all about 50 words. What I did is I took that blog and I picked the 101 best tips and created a second book called It's Not About You, It's About Bacon Bits. And it was 101 relationship marketing tips. So I actually used the blog to keep the book promoted in front of people for a year. But then I also used that to launch another book that also built on the brand of the original book. And that book is a tool that I still use to this day to help promote my brand, my book, and keep that book relevant. Is that ninja enough for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go there. We were talking earlier a little bit about how authors struggle with embracing the business side of writing.
Right.
I'm curious, did your marketing background prepare you to do that, or was it something that you just instinctively knew, or was it something that you had to make an effort, or you took a class? How did you realize that in order to do what you did on Amazon.com, you had to establish an audience?
Well, in reality, it was a combination of a lot of things. It was a combination of researching. It was joining some LinkedIn and Google Plus groups and listening to other people. And I actually hired a coach who had written a handful of books that were bestsellers on Amazon and used their advice to kind of build the principles and philosophies and things like that. And from a self-published book standpoint, when I sat down and looked at it, you know, I knew that I wanted this book to be as best as it could possibly be. So because it's a huge reflection of you and your business. It's a huge reflection of the quality of your information and the way people will perceive you. So I invested, and this is when we talk about the business of book writing, you know, a lot of people try to do things as cheaply as possible. We live in the Fiverr society today, right? You know, where you can go to Fiverr and you can get just about anything done. You can get a book cover done. You can get an editor. You can get all those kind of things, right? And that's okay. But I actually took a different route with that, and I was willing to invest in this book. And when it was all said and done, I knew it was going to cost me a good chunk of change. I dropped about $5,000 to develop this book. Now, the scary thing about that is that the average, and this is, I can't verify the numbers. I'm getting this from some best-selling authors that I've interviewed. The average person who puts a book up on Amazon that doesn't do any pre- or post-promotion sells 10 books. And I've heard it as high as 150. So, you know, and then if you're speaking and stuff like that, you're lucky if you're going to sell 250 books. And that's average. You know, does that number sound about right to you?
Oh, absolutely. That's hitting it right on the head.
Okay. So if you do math, you know, the average book is going to sell for maybe $20, and by the time you're done, you're going to make $10. All right? So if you sell 250 books at $10, you're going to make about $2,500 in book sales. That's average. Now, I went into this saying, I'm not going to be average. I'm gonna take this up a notch. So I invested $5,000 in my book. Now, keep in mind, I did my own websites and things like that, too. It could have been even more expensive. And the investment was this, is I had a professional book designer design my cover. And that was huge because that book needs to stand out on Amazon. It needs to stand out in a crowd if somebody sees it, you know, say it's in a bookstore. The cover has to really stand out because it's the one chance. The old adage of you can't judge a book by its cover is very true, but people certainly do that a lot on Amazon. Or they'll do it, you know, in any way they see you. So, and then also that was part of my marketing strategy was having a book cover made the book real before it was even completed. So then I wrote the book, and then I found a real book editor, person that understands the whole concept of editing a book. It's not just proofreading and fixing your typos. It's creating a flavor and a flow and making sure that all the data inside of that is on target, you know, matches your audience expectations, isn't too techy or geeky or over the heads of the average reader. You know, somebody that understands, you know, how to formulate that into a finished product. And then you have to go and get it proofread after that. And now we have the inside of the book design, because a lot of people just think you can kind of spit it out of Microsoft Word, and you can, but that's not, you know, that's not to the level that we're talking about. And then here, Sharon, this is probably the most interesting thing I did not know when I started writing a book. There is no software in the world that can make an index for a book. Right?
Mm.
And you know
why. You're telling the truth.
Uh-huh, yeah. The reason why is because I'm in the tech world. If you just say the word Google, okay, that's okay. You know, and a software could figure out that Google is a word, but it can't tell the difference between Google AdWords, Google Analytics, Google Business, Google Local, Google Places, you know, all of those things. And so the software can't differentiate that those are all separate properties. And that's why you have to hire a professional indexer to go in and make sure that, you know, if you're talking about a specific property within Google, that, it, you know, it's going to be indexed to the right spot. So then we hire a professional indexer, you know, on top of all that. And then, you know, then you get the book and you get it up to Amazon, CreateSpace or whatever. And by the time it was all said and done, and then, you know, I've spent, you know, $3,500, $4,000. And then I hired a coach who understood the process of pre-launch, launch, and post-launch to help guide me through the things that I needed to think about that you would never think about, on how to promote the book via email, how to promote the book on social media, how to build up that fury of people that would be interested in it by using blogs and podcasts and interviews and all that other stuff. So, you know, there was a definite strategy that was set up that helped me get to the point. And to date, I've sold, I'm going to have to guesstimate at this point because I haven't looked in the last month or two, but I'd say somewhere around 1,500 books.
Oh, my goodness. That is good. And let me
tell you,
you know what, Ian? I'm going to be honest, but do you know this is the pre-launch for a book? This I Love Authorpreneurs campaign is a pre-launch for a book.
See,
and the name of the book is A Real Authorpreneur, Please Stand Up.
I love it. So you get it.
Remember the old The Truth television series, Black and White?
Mm-hmm.
And the key line is, will the real John Doe please stand up? And that's
right.
What this book is about. Real entrepreneurs like yourself who have wrestled, who have studied, who have researched, who have posted blogs, who have spent dollars, I mean huge dollars, in getting their message out there. because they have a valuable message, they don't mind helping others, and they want to make some money.
Exactly. Yep,
so,
couldn't agree with you more. So congratulations on your pre-launch strategy. That's fabulous.
Thank you, Brian. That means a lot coming from you. Now, what are the biggest mistakes people make when developing content, and what should they do instead?
Well, the biggest mistake is they don't – let's put it this way. And my book is called It's Not About You, It's About Bacon. It's not about bacon. It's not about you. It's about your audience and about what your audience wants to hear. The biggest mistake is that people develop content in a sense that they just want to brain dump and tell everybody what it is that they know without realizing what it may or may not match your audience's expectations. So a lot of times the best tool in the world is a question. What do you need to know? What is it that's not making sense to you in your business? And I don't care if you're writing a book about accounting or you're writing a book about manufacturing or you're writing a book about rocket science. It doesn't matter. The key thing is that you need to know what your audience wants. So when you're doing your any of your online marketing, whether it's writing a blog, doing a podcast, doing interviews and things like that, it's really about what do people want to learn? What do they need to know? And it's your job to answer those questions. You have to be somebody that is willing to listen and answer questions as opposed to somebody that just wants to go blah, 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 blah. And like one of the tips that I give people a lot about writing their LinkedIn profiles is a lot of people write their LinkedIn profiles like, I have done this, and I have, and I, and me, and me, and I, me, I, me, I, me, I, me. And after a while, it just like it's brain numbing, right? So what I always suggest people do is write their LinkedIn profile in the third person. So it sounds like somebody else wrote it for you. Brian has, he has, Sharon is, Sharon was, Sharon does, all of that kind of stuff. And so that's more of the kind of approach that you have to do is do it as if you were the person looking at it and listening at it, and is it going to make sense? So really content development boils down to are you – you tune with your audience, are you giving them what they want? Because if you do give them what they want, they will not only respond, and in the social media world we call that engagement. That's click to like, comment, share, those kind of things. Not only that, but they'll come back and they'll listen more because they feel like that their time is well spent. So you need to understand the value of what you're putting out there. And you have to make it so that people want to invest their time in you.
So speaking of content, what's your favorite motivational book, blog, or podcast? And we know you have a book, blog, and podcast. So what's your other favorite?
Well, there's a handful that I listen to. I mean, there's a lot of great books out there. And one of the things, I told you I have a dog and walk my dog every single day. I listen. I'm an audio guy, meaning that I love listening to audiobooks and things like that. So a couple of really good books that I would recommend right off the top for people that are not super techie, you know, because I don't want to overwhelm people, is Michael Hyatt's Platform, which is a really, really good book. He's a book publisher. He's an author and an entrepreneur, and he teaches – it's a great book for somebody who's going to write a book. Because it really kind of gives you the big broad brush of what's online advertising and internet marketing. The other book that I really, really love is The Go-Givers by Bob Berg, and I cannot remember the other person's name, but it's just look up Go-Givers by Bob Berg. Another book that I absolutely love is written by my mentor. His name is Al Ritter, and this book is available on Simple Truths, which is a publisher here in Illinois. And the name of the book is called The 100-0 Principle, and it's basically about servant leadership. And it's what the whole principle of that book is. Give 100% of yourself 100% of the time, expect nothing in return, and watch what happens. And if you get that mentality when you're doing your content development, it's a heck of a lot more successful. As far as podcasts go, probably my favorite podcast for motivation is actually another one of my mentors. He's my podcast mentor. His name is Scott Smith, and it's called Motivation to Move. And he does a podcast every single day. It's very short. It's 10 minutes, called The Daily Boost. And a lot of great motivation in that one. So that's probably, from a podcast standpoint, the one I would say would be, you know, within that realm.
So where should people go to get in touch with you, Brian? I have enjoyed this conversation, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're probably going
to
talk again.
You are
a wealth of information and a true entrepreneur, so I applaud you. I applaud you for finding the courage to do what other people, going to places that other people, and doing things that other people, you know, hesitate to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. There's multiple ways that people can get a hold of me. I'm going to give you three websites. The first one is notaboutyou.com. It's N-O-T-A-B-O-U-T, the letter U.com. That is the website for my books. And on there you'll find some video tips. You'll find some inspirational quotes. You'll find the blog post that I wrote the Bacon Bits tip with, and some info about that. So that'll give people a little bit of an idea of what I do there. My podcast is called Bacon Podcast. So it's baconpodcast.com is another great place to go, and I'm in the middle of rebranding that. And then finally, my last website that I want to give out is called b2b-im.com. That stands for B2B Interactive Marketing, which is kind of the cornerstone of my business. So those three are great ways. They got contact forms, my phone number, my email, smoke signals, however you want to get a hold of me, it's there.
And it has been a fun conversation with you today, and I just again want to thank you for spending 30 quality minutes with me today.
That's always the plan. If people are going to listen to your stuff, you want to give them quality content, right, Sharon?
Absolutely, absolutely. You always win when you do that.
Absolutely. And, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. Love speaking with your audience, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you. So thank you so much, Sharon.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Well, listening audience, we have come to the close of interview number one with Brian today. So tune in again at 1:30. Go to iloveentrepreneurs.com, and you will find out the sign-in or the call-in information for our 1:30 call. I'm just curious as to what the rest of the day is going to be like, simply because I've had a great start with Brian Basilico. Thank you again, Brian. And for those of you who are listening, who are interested in registering for the I Love Entrepreneurs campaign, just simply go to iloveentrepreneurs.com and register. And because we've got 7 more days to do this, and I promise you, we have quality content, to coin a phrase from Brian, quality content available for you, and quality folks who are going to step up to the mic and rock your world. So see you at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, and thanks again, Brian.